I want to turn our attentions to Roman and Emily Setak, and we're going to invite them to make their way up here and to come on up. And they are our Converge missionaries to Moldova. And since the last time they were here, a lot of things have changed, right? A war in Ukraine changed a lot of things that they are doing, and we look forward to letting them share. So they're going to share a little bit, then Roman's going to open the word a little bit, right? And I just want to let you kind of know a personal thing. So Emily grew up at Cornerstone Church, and because she went on missions trips to Moldova, you were the interpreter, right? Is that how it was? And that's kind of how they met, and that's how they ended up getting married. So let's give a warm welcome to Roman and Emily Setak.
Good morning. It's so good to be here with you. It was so special to also be a part of communion and to worship together with you. As Pastor Ed said, my name is Roman, and this is my wife, Emily. And Henry and Josette, our children, are with us this morning. They are somewhere the Sunday school day. Yeah, my English is a little bit softer, so we'll need to adjust the microphone for me. It's hard to believe that it has been 3 years now since we last came and we're here in the States. We are serving nearly now 10 years with Converge as missionaries to Moldova. This is our third home assignment. And you know, every time when we come back at home here, I need to say that, and in case there are new people and you're wondering, you probably, since I opened my mouth, you know that I am not a native Iowan. I married one, but I wish that would help with every time I open my mouth. It is a reminding that it doesn't help. But I was born and raised in Moldova, Eastern Europe. It's, and I hope my English will be enough strong today. But looking back and at our term, this last term in Moldova, last 3 years, we can definitely say that it was the most challenging, the most frightening, the most refining and encouraging at the same time. And I know that it sounds contradictory, how all those things at once can be. But because we serve a powerful God who is not afraid to go with us through tough times, it is possible, all of those. And this morning, we want to spend our time here about that, sharing about how faithful and how powerful the Lord has been with us in all those years, and to thank you for your prayers.
Not long after we returned to Moldova in 2021, the war broke out in Ukraine. And like the rest of the world, we had been hearing news that the Russian troops were accumulating along Ukraine's border with Russia. And we were hoping very much that it would all just blow over. But we started to see more and more Ukrainian license plates on our roads as the days and weeks went by. And we knew that those were families who were trying to get out before it might be too late. On February 23rd, I woke up very early in the morning with what sounded and felt like some sort of an explosion. It was so strong that our windows were rattling, and I, after a little bit, woke up Roma, and I was like, did you feel that too, or what's going on? We started checking the news right away. We just jumped into our phones, and Roma was telling me, oh no, I just read Putin said he's not planning to invade. It's okay, go back to sleep. And then he felt it too. And 14 minutes later, we were informed on the BBC that Russia had launched an all-out attack on Ukraine. And we don't still know what those explosions were that we were feeling in the early days, or the early minutes, hours of the morning. Some people say it was ammunitions that were exploding in Transnistria, which is a breakaway region of Moldova not far from us. But that evening, we had planned to wrap up a six-week evangelism course that we'd been teaching at the Jorge Good News Church in our little city. And I remember Roma calling the pastor, Pastor Sergio, and saying, what are we going to do? And Pastor Sergio said, you know, we don't know what the days ahead are going to bring, so let's get together. We don't know if we're ever going to finish this course. Let's do it. Let's meet. And I think he was very wise. We spent most of that evening praying and just doing everything that we could to prepare for the thousands of refugees who are already pouring into our little country. So Moldova has a population of 2.5 million. And since the start of the war, we've had over 1 million people, refugees, come through our country, many of them seeking refuge in Western Europe. But to date, we have 104,000 refugees in our country. One out of every 10 children in Moldova right now is Ukrainian. Not long ago, that was one out of five. So Moldova is a small country. Our church, the Protestant church's presence is small, and we're very limited in resources, but from the very beginning, we have sensed this unity and connectedness as never before.
I do remember during the first days of the war, I told Emily, probably this will not be more than a week. And later, you know, many of us, we thought that Russia is the second military power in the world, and will be to stand against it would be unimaginable. During that time in Moldova, the first months, and then it went into longer and longer, in Moldova there was a lot of fear. And especially because of that part of Moldova that is a breakaway region and where Russian troops are already. And even though the news did not talk about that a lot, we knew that if Russia takes Ukraine, then Transnistria will be taken too. During that time also, our government went through a very, very destabilizing time, unstable time. And through the first year of the war, we were receiving from U.S. Embassy updates sometimes twice a week to avoid certain roads where the protests are planned to be. And also, during that time, our only airport in Moldova, we were receiving a couple times a week bomb threats. That will be explosions. So there was a lot of fear. And there is still a strong effort to destabilize our pro-Western, pro-democracy government at this time. But when we just look back, we are amazed how God has spared our country, what He spared it from, and how absolutely He is amazing, and how strong He is. And probably the biggest joy of ours in being here this morning, it is to just absolutely to share His faithfulness, and during this time to thank You for Your prayers for us, for prayers for that part of the world. We believe that God spared Moldova for a reason. Because He has plans to spread the gospel in a powerful way there. And just as He has plans to spread the gospel in Ukraine and in Russia and, of course, in America. It feels that it happened so many terrible things since we last were at home here. But we truly believe that God is on the move.
I would like to echo Roma's words of thanks as well. So during the first year of the war, we had to battle fear as never before. There were weeks when we had our passports with us almost everywhere we went, just in case something would happen and the kids and I would need to go to Romania for a time. That was our plan. And the just in case was a big question too. We didn't know what it might be, but everybody just felt like they needed to be prepared. Alongside that, I didn't know if Roman would be able to come with us because he's a leader in our church, and in Moldova and our part of the world in Ukraine, church leaders are expected to stay with their congregations. And so that was just a big question on our minds all the time. What are we going to do? How is that going to look? In the winter of 2022, Moldova started to experience blackouts as Russia was bombing Ukraine's electrical plants. And if you can imagine a capital city going completely black for hours at a time, no traffic lights, no store lights, nothing, that's what we felt like we needed to be prepared for all the time. And so needless to say, having all those what-ifs on your shoulders every day, it takes a toll after a while. And there were days when I felt like the wind was just about out of my sails. And then all of a sudden would come this rush of encouragement that I can't even explain, but I knew in my heart of hearts that that was the Holy Spirit. He was answering your prayers, the prayers of many for us throughout that time. And that just gave us so much strength. And that's why it's so good to be here today and to be able to see your faces and to tell you thank you in person. God answers our prayers. A few months back, there were a number of couples who approached us, actually, and shared with us that they had been watching our family during the time of the war in the early months, and they had said to themselves, if Chetaks leave, then we're leaving too. And we are so glad that we didn't leave. One of these couples, they were asked to serve as directors for the William Graham Crusade that happened in Moldova this last summer. And thousands of people came to Christ and heard the gospel during that time. And we believe that it was really good that our friends stayed and served in that capacity. These were a couple. The young man is actually a man Roma helped lead to Christ years ago and has discipled over the years. And I have had the privilege of being his wife's friend and kind of a mentor over the years as well. During this time, I also began to find comfort in God's word as never before. In the early days of the war, it felt like His sovereignty and His power was just jumping off every page of the Old Testament. And He was just speaking to my heart that there's not a war too big for Him. Physical battles or the wars in our own families sometimes even in our own hearts, nothing is beyond His power to resolve. And despite knowing this, however, we are living in a time when God, in His sovereignty, hasn't allowed this war to end. So the refugees are still coming. Bombs are still flying. But the good news is that Christ has won the final battle. And His victory is ours. And so this truth has given us so much courage and strength. I know I'm crying up here, but it does give us so much strength because we know that this life is not all there is. And that truth has helped me so much as I have listened to the stories of Ukrainian women, cried with them, many of them who have lost their marriages, their homes, their entire ways of life. But knowing that this life is just the beginning. The war has really brought that truth home for us. Life's greatest joys and its most devastating losses, it's just the beginning. As believers, we can mourn, as I shared. I shed a lot of tears, both over just what was happening and with Ukrainian women over this last term. As believers, we can mourn and we need to mourn, but our mourning is with hope.
We would like to spend a little bit of time telling you more about situation of with refugees and also to share about our vision for Moldova. In the first weeks of the war, we were able to welcome a mother and her son to live with us in the house where we were staying. And we do not have time this morning to share the whole story, but if you didn't have a chance to read about that now in one of our prayer updates, Emily will be very, very glad to send it to you. You can sign in the back on the paper for that, and it will be sent to you. But nowadays, Ukrainians, most of the Ukrainian refugees, they live in the centers for refugees that are made by government, by churches, many of them, they tried to find work, and those who did, and they are renting apartments. Those who remained in Moldova, those are people who really do not have any connections in the Western Europe. So many of them are really, really desperate in the way how they feel. From the very beginning of the war, our church say that we will find a way to be a part of the need. We'll be a part of responding to this need, and we decided that we will help single mothers with their children to buy groceries every month. And I'm saying single mothers because men are usually, they are not allowed to get out of Ukraine unless they are over 60 or have three children and more. So there are a lot of mothers with children that feel in Moldova as they are educating, raising up their children as single mothers. And but our church said from the very beginning, we would like to do more than just help people with groceries. A team of leaders, we created support groups for Ukrainians, and at this point there are 10 groups for women and 2 groups for men that are meeting twice every month, and it's amazing to see. We are asking them also to be a part of the Bible study that we are doing there, and people who are leading those groups, they say that many of Ukrainians, they call those groups, support groups, their church. We are studying now Bible characters, and people are learning what they can learn from people in the Bible. And it has been amazing. Amazing to see how God is using terrible things as a war to bring people to Christ. Many of those people who are now at the church, that they come to those groups, they never thought in their life that they will put their foot in a Protestant church. But God is using sometimes terrible things to bring the barriers down that our hearts have in order for us to know Him.
This ministry that we've just been talking about isn't something that we are personally leading, but we have been more involved with refugees who are in our city that we've gotten close to, and then those that Roman is pastoring. Now we have 3 families, new families, who have joined our church since the start of the war. All of them have been dislocated because of the war. But we wanted to share with you about what our church is doing for 2 reasons. First, to ask you to continue to pray for these families. And second, for those of you who sent support designated for Ukrainians during the first months of the war, we want you to know that your funds are being directed towards the church and used in this way. Along with ministering to refugees, our church has a big heart for children and youth. So each week there's around 150 teenagers, mostly unchurched, who use the building where we worship, where we meet. And they are meeting there for different trainings, different outreach events. And if you happen to be in the building during their meetings, the sights, the sounds, even the smells are a lot different from what it's like on a Sunday when there's 3 congregations using that same facility for worship. But we really believe that to reach the next generation for Christ, we need to be willing to go where people are, to meet them where they are.
As we are talking about youth, in the fall of 2022, we formed an outreach group or an evangelistic group with young people that are friends with our friends who we together did different outreach ministries through the years, and we invited them to join a course on a series on leadership, and then after that we proposed to do Bible study together. And all of them said, yes, we would like to do Bible study together. It was amazing. We got really close to that youth because we were spending nearly for a full school year every Thursday evening with them. And we God blessed us with possibilities to share the gospel in many ways. And it's so amazing. Many of them, they said, we never thought, we never heard about God in this way. And to tell you honest, Emily and I, we were a little bit disappointed in the end, when after summer came and many of those young people, they became busy with other activities, and it seems that their interest for the Word of God, for the church, it faded out. But as you, many of you probably know and felt and experienced that in the ministry and outreach that you do here at home, ministry and bringing people to Christ many times involves purposefully investing or sowing, and also prayerfully waiting for people to come to Him. And as we just a couple months before we came, we connected with another friend of ours who is reaching out to a young lady who was in our group that we have led, and she said that this lady's sister started to attend another church, and she became Christians. She gave her life to Christ, and now is inviting to the church her mom, her sister, her little brother. So the Lord is working. The Lord continues to work in an amazing way in the life of the young people that we are working with. And thank you so much for your prayers. I know that many times in our prayer letters, we are writing about that, and you do pray for young people that we are working with. Thank you so much.
We also just learned that a woman named Yelena, who is the mother of one of the young men in our group, she recently has begun going to church. She's given her life to the Lord. And she was has been a part of a camp that we help with every summer for children and their families who are in remission after leukemia. And Yelena has heard the gospel so many times. She's been to so many different events. She's had so much contact with believers, but just over the last year, it says that the Holy Spirit just started to illuminate His goodness to her. And she shared recently, I just can't not go to church anymore. She's decided, even against her husband's will, that she wants to start to come to church. She said, I need God, I need Christian community. And so that's a huge praise. And we would just, here's a picture of that camp. I am not good at talking and doing slides at the same time. We would ask you to pray for her and for her son, who's also had a lot of spiritual conversations with us. Pray that Radu, her son, his heart would be softened as well, that he would surrender his life to Christ, stop fighting an uphill, worthless battle, and just start enjoying Christ to the fullest.
At home in Moldova, I'm usually doing this. People often ask us about what is the spiritual climate in Moldova like, and probably our biggest challenge is to help people around to understand that being a Christian means much more than just being baptized as a little child in the church, maybe being married in the church and making sure that you are buried in the church. It's so much more. But we know that orthodoxy what is actually official dogma and teaching and orthopraxy, how that comes into practice and Christian life. Those are two different things, especially in our country. And we would like to be very careful, because we do have friends who are Orthodox, and Orthodox friends that are amazing people. I mean, you are with them and you feel the Spirit of the Lord, and you can call brothers and sisters. They are humble, they love God's Word, and they are saved. But this is very, very little of reality in our country where we live. Moldova is, you know, oftentimes referred as a wonderland, not just because of the political and legal scandals that are going on there, but also because of the way how orthodoxy is practiced. I would describe that Orthodoxy in Moldova, it's a combination of Christianity combined with non-biblical traditions and local superstitions. For example, it's not hard to find at our local open market, it's not hard to find a fortune teller. But people don't see any problem to consult a fortune teller and also to go to the priest and pay for him to bless their cars, their businesses, their homes. It's not a problem at all. So the spiritual climate, it's like what we can say in Russian, kashka malashka. It's a mixed up mess. Oftentimes feels like a spiritual confusion, and lately we feel even more that this spiritual confusion is so deep and so hard that often comes in a new generation in a spiritual apathy.
In this context, we often find that one of the hardest parts of sharing the gospel is the truth that Jesus wants all of our lives. He's not content to just a single room in our hearts. He wants to infiltrate every room. And he also can't be bought, as many Moldavians believe. When we have families over for dinner, many times Roma will pray for them and bless their families as he's praying before our meal. And they're very surprised by this, because a blessing is something you pay for. And along with this, we see that the culture at large is very content to keep God at a distance. We find him in the church, but then outside of that building, it's my life. I do what I want. There's lots of bumper stickers that say, "My life, my rules." We're always like, how does that work when you're driving a car? But it's as though Moldavians are very content. They're okay with Jesus being a savior, but don't talk to me about him being a Lord. Let's not get fanatic. Yeah. So within this context, how do we share the greatest news on earth? We find that the majority of Moldavians that we interact with have been exposed to the gospel. They have been invited to evangelistic events. They've been at camps over the years. But what they don't seem to have is regular contact with believers who are enjoying Christ as Lord of their lives. And we shared earlier about the ways that our church is working to break down these barriers by creating what we like to call on-ramps or middle ground for students, for refugees, for vulnerable mothers, for the friends and colleagues of our church members, so that they can come into contact with Christian community, maybe as a starting point before just going to church on a Sunday, because that's a very big jump. To be Moldavian is to be Orthodox, and to leave your Orthodox faith is really...
betrayal.
It's a betrayal. Yeah, thank you, in many ways. So alongside this, these on-ramps and these middle grounds, we believe that the neighborhood that God has placed us in and the city that we live is our sphere of influence. And so one of the things that we do is we are just building relationships in the places where God has put us. And that includes with our neighbors, with the people that we meet at the outdoor market, Rodica, who cuts our hair, Anatole, who sells flour, Anna, who sells pastries. These are just a handful of people who are very dear to us and who we are praying for and striving to engage in meaningful conversations with them on a regular basis about life and faith.
We find it so interesting when we look at Jesus and when he invited his first disciples to come with him. I think they observed him and started to following him. And their first question to Jesus was, where do you live? Jesus looked at them and said, come and see. And he just invited them at his house and spent with them the afternoon, and they slept over. I think we found out that through years, people are wondering the same things. What is your life like? How do you live? And when we see that a person is open, when we see that a relationship is started and the Lord puts on our heart, we open our home for people to come in. We invite people for a tea, which in Moldavian culture is always a tea with a meal with tea or coffee, or sometimes all three of them, meal and tea and coffee, you know. But there is something powerful about sitting around the table, and God is working and does a lot of transformation when we let people in and they're close. This past summer, God tapped our hearts to open our house to people more than ever before. We had many, many, many people at our house. I think at one point I was just looking at Emily thinking, she's too tired. But we have just moved in a house that we are building, a small house, and it's still concrete floors. We don't have doors. Some of our walls are still dry walls, and others' walls are unfinished cement. But over the years, we got enough little things that Emily was able to make it cozy enough. And we're not about impressing people or about entertaining, but about hospitality. So we just let people in, and we had so many amazing discussions in our house. With students, with friends, with couples just like us, and many of them who are struggling with their family. And it has been a journey. Beautiful.
It has. I'll never forget one evening we had invited a neighbor couple over, Mihai and Diana, we'll call them. And they know that we're believers. And so shortly into the evening, Mihai says, you know, I've been listening to this this guy on the internet or the radio recently, and I just like what he has to say so much about different religions. Basically, everybody believes something. There's little differences, but the important thing is just to believe in something. And I'm looking at Roma. There's this little pause, and he says, this is the first time they've come to our house. He says, Mihai, you know, I really respect you, but I have to disagree. And he said, our Christian faith, and I really like this because Mihai calls himself an Orthodox, and so Roma is saying, well, then you're a Christian with me. He said, our Christian faith is unique. We're different from any other religion because in every other religion, it's all about measuring up, and you never know if you're going to make it in the end. He said, but for us as Christians, we have a God who knew from the start that we'd never measure up, and he took it on himself. He took on flesh. He entered into our mess to pay the price to show us back to the Father. And there was this pause, and Diana said, I think you're right. And Mihai said, I have never heard Christianity explained that way.
This is why we want to go as soon as possible back to Moldova, because of such families who, like Mihai and Diana, who needs to hear the good news and to see it lived out. We want to go back and to be able to continue to bring the gospel to people. You know, our vision is to share in a meaningful way God and the good news with everybody that God is bringing in our sphere of influence, as well as equip the churches around us, believers, Moldavians, to do the same thing. The Protestant church in Moldova went through a time of persecution, intense persecution years ago, and it still does today. But however, those days of intense persecution, they are over. And it's there are not anymore those days when the government, the communist government, was pressing the believers to choose between church and the party, the communist party, and the church felt that they have to be separated and went into a survival mode. The years and the time has changed. We need to come out to bring the church to people, to the world. And because of this, we are encouraging believers in our spheres of influence, and also that the churches that we are coming to both study and understand the culture that they live in, and also, on another hand, the gospel. How the good news is the good news for today, for themselves, for their neighbors and friends. You know, telling a Moldavian that he's a sinner, it's not a big news. But to tell a Moldavian that Jesus is not like Cumetru, and Cumetru is a word that Moldavians have between special people who become really close to them through a different church things in life can be sometimes closer than a brother, but also you don't call on him till you're really in a bad situation, and then that person will act an illegal way to take you out. And saying that Jesus is not like Cumetru, that God cannot be bribed, that God is not like this, it's an eye-opening, because the attitude towards God many times is this. To tell a Moldavian grandmother that in the village, that Jesus died to take away her guilt will be interesting, but won't move her. But telling her that Jesus came to take away her shame, it will definitely get her attention. We as believers in Moldova, we need to be careful to those nuances, to the culture, the context around us. We have learned over the years that just simply using Western materials for evangelism won't work for engaging the heart and communicating the essence of the good news. For example, the four spiritual laws are not so powerful in a culture where the first thing that comes to the mind when are mentioned the law is the proverb that says "Правила существуют, чтобы их нарушать." The rules or the law is there to be broken. So we can't complain that some of the methods don't work, and we do need to learn our context and to grow more and more in reliance on the Holy Spirit.
All of the things that Roman's just been talking about are things that we discuss in an evangelism course that we wrote and teach for believers in our country. And this missional impulse is something that he's bringing into his sermons and church planning meetings, and just recently an organization called Beginning of Life that is a Christian nonprofit in our country that he was asked to serve on the board of. And we would greatly appreciate your prayers for us as we return to Moldova in the next 3 years on the field. We are asking God for breakthroughs. We're asking God to break through calloused, frightened, tired hearts with the good news of the gospel. And we believe that he can do it. We're asking for the church to be stirred towards thoughtful, bold, creative, loving evangelism. And we're asking for a movement of discipleship. And he's absolutely able. So we'd like to ask you to pray for us also as Roman leads a team from our church. Here's our church. I was behind on slides again. He leads a team from our church to plant a new church. So the church that we've been serving in for the last 3 years is predominantly Russian-speaking, and we've seen a lot of growth, both from families who've come from the war as well as families in our community. New leaders are rising up. They're taking initiative and responsibilities as never before, and we are really excited about that. And to be honest, it'd be a really comfortable place to stay in. But our hearts are burning with a desire to reach the thousands of Romanian speakers. And Romanian is the national language in Moldova. Thousands of Romanian speakers who desperately need to know and see, meet Jesus and see him as he truly is. So that will be, church planting will be a major part of our focus as we go back in August.
We hope and pray that what we have shared this morning with you maybe was an encouragement for in the place where you are in sharing your faith with the neighbors, with your friends, and will be an encouraging, I think, for you. And we are just so, so thankful. I know that we said it a couple times this morning, but we're so, so thankful for the partnership, for all that you do, for all the prayers, for all that you give. We thank you and thank the Lord that made us all a part of what he's doing and how he's growing his kingdom in Eastern Europe. Thank you very much. Also, if you are not yet on our list for receiving updates, we would love to be able to send them to you. So every couple months, every 3 months, we are sending those updates. It won't be 100 in one day at once. We also would like for you to feel free to take one of our prayer cards, just to have it. And also, if you would like to know more about how to support the ministries at the church that we serve in Moldova, you can talk with us more after the service about that and to write to us too. And also, in the end, before praying, I would like to share with you, we are so excited. There is a young couple, Moldavian couple, that have lived in the United States for last years. And it's Sergiu and Vika Matei. God has called them to come back to Moldova and to be a part of our team and to plant church with us. And we're so excited that they are with Converge now. They are Converge missionaries appointed to Moldova. They are in their church, they are in their support raising journey now, and we would love to see them fully funded and join us by next year for a new church plant. So you might also prayerfully consider joining their support team and help them to be funded. It has been a joy to be this morning here. I just would like to say, Pleasant View, it has been last time that I preached here the first time in all the churches. And today it's the first time that we're speaking at the church too. And it's the best place to be. So
we always come to Pleasant View first because you all are so friendly. So it's easiest.
Thank you. We would like to pray in the end all together about mission, about what the Lord is doing in all of our lives. Would you join us in prayer? Father, we would like to thank you so much that the mission is yours and not ours, Lord. We thank you that you are the one driver behind the mission. And we thank you so much that even though, Lord, you can do and accomplish all by yourself, you, Lord, want to involve us. And we thank you, Lord, that when you want to do great things, then you are gathering a team. Lord, you're not giving to one person all the things to be self-sufficient, because, Lord, you want us to be dependent by each other's gifts, by each other's prayers. Lord, we thank you that when you do a thing, you do, Lord, as a team. And all the glory, Lord, then gets to you. We thank you for this. Lord, we would like to thank you that your spirit is alive. Mm-hmm. We thank you that you are working today in, Lord, the people around us. We are asking for you to work in a very powerful way in the life of people that all of us are connected. In those spheres of influence that you, Lord, brought people in our life, we pray for you, Lord, to work in their hearts, Lord. When they sleep, when they wake up, when nobody sees them, Lord, for you to speak, to whisper to their heart, so we, when we get together, Lord, to feel that we just come, Lord, alongside the mission that powerfully you are already doing in their life and hearts. I'm praying, Lord, for the neighborhood here around this church. I'm praying for the neighbors of each household and each family, Lord, each young people, Lord, that are here. We're praying for you, Lord, to work and to bring people to yourself. You are powerful, and we, Lord, rely on you. We thank you for this church by the Lord, for your incarnation here, Lord, the way how people, Lord, leave you out and the good news here around. We thank you, Lord, for Pastor Ed. We ask you, Lord, for you to continue to bless him in equipping and love this church here. We praise you. We worship you in the name of Jesus. Amen.